I'd like to ask you to pray with me once more as we prepare our heart for God's word tonight. Father, we just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you know exactly what we need. I thank you, Lord, that the truth of your word sets free. And I ask you, Father, tonight that you'd help me to say all that you'd have me to, only what you'd have me to. And I ask you, Father, that you give us ears to hear. Lord, we choose to hear your word, that we might fully obey and walk in all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You have your Bible. I want you to go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to begin there in verse 17 in just a moment. There's a lot of hurt in our world. And along with it, there's a lot of bitterness and anger. Just a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning, I shared a message about overcoming bitterness. And we read this passage of Scripture. The principles that are found here are really profound. They are powerful and liberating. Jesus said, if you stay in his word, then you really are his disciples. And you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. I believe this truth can make you free. He says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard. As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. One lady had an abusive husband, went to her pastor, and she said, Pastor, what should I do? And the pastor said, well, have you tried heaping coals of fire on his head? And she said, no, but I've poured hot water on him. It's human nature to want to repay. When you are hurt, when you are wronged, it's human nature to want to repay evil for evil. It's natural for us to want to defend ourselves and to be angry and retaliate. Even little two-year-olds want to fight back and bite back when they get hurt. They don't have to watch the Three Stooges to learn it. It comes naturally to them. It doesn't matter where you go or what you do, who you're around. Sooner or later, you're going to have the opportunity to be hurt, to be offended. In fact, it happens to most of us on a daily basis that we feel wronged in some way. I mean, you can get offended just on the way to church, driving in traffic. Probably somebody happened to them tonight. You got mad because somebody did something that you felt like they wronged you. You can be mistreated in the line at the grocery store. You can be abused by your family, taken advantage of by your employer. You can be betrayed by a friend or stabbed in the back by a brother in the Lord. In this world, you're going to have trouble. And you know where most of it comes from? People. And it can make you angry. It can make you bitter. It can make you hard, but I'm telling you, the truth will set you free. Jesus teaches us to turn the other cheek when we're insulted. He teaches us to pray for those that mistreat us, to bless those who curse us. And I think there's a real struggle for most of us to keep those commands. And a lot of it comes down to this simple issue that we want to repay. We don't want to bless the one who cursed us. We want to say something bad back. We want to say something bad about them. We don't want to pray for the one who's mistreating us. I mean, we want to pray, Lord, get them or something, you know. Lord, let their house burn down. But that's not what Jesus was talking about when he said to pray for them. And the issue comes down to this is that we want to take vengeance in our own hands. We want to repay instead of letting God do what he said that he would do. I want to remind you, as a born-again believer, we are to be partakers of his divine nature, and he is forgiving. But he is God, and you are not. There are some things that are unique to him. You were created in his image. But don't create him in your image. There are ways that we are not like him. That we are not his equal. He's the only uncreated. He is the only one in whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. And he's the only one who can be the judge of all mankind. And he's the only one who has the right to take vengeance and to repay. But he says very plainly that vengeance belongs to him. And when we seek to repay evil, we're taking something that belongs to God. We talk about the tithe and Malachi, how that it says, the Lord says that it's his. And that he tells his people, he says, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings because the tithe belongs to God. But I want you to understand that in the same way, vengeance belongs to the Lord. He says, vengeance is mine. Now you can wash that away with some kind of ridiculous theological acrobatics and, you know, just like people do with a lot of the Word of God, but it's pretty simple and straightforward. You know, most of the time when people don't understand the Bible, it has something to do with the fact they don't really want to. But he says, vengeance is mine. You know what that means? That means that it belongs to God. And he says, I will repay. Tells us very plainly, verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. He says very plainly, he commands, you are not to repay. It sure goes against the grain. The next verse in 12:18, he says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I got to tell you, Jesus didn't live in peace with all men. In fact, at one point he said, don't think I came to bring peace, but a sword. And the name of Jesus still divides people, still makes people angry. But he said, the scripture says, as much as possible, live at peace with all men. Paul couldn't live at peace with all men, and Peter couldn't live at peace with all men. But as much as possible. And you know, most of the time when we get in conflict with people, it's not because we are obeying God rather than men. I didn't say it doesn't ever happen. I said most of the time it's not because we're obeying God rather than men, but it's we're in conflict with people simply because of pride or selfish ambition. And we could be at peace with people. But instead, too often we act like the world. Verse 19, he says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Do not avenge yourselves. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Give place. You see, he's talking about God's wrath. The NIV says, leave room for God's wrath. When you avenge yourself, the Lord will not. Give place to wrath. You see, when you take it upon yourself, then the Lord's not going to step in. That's why he says, leave place, leave room for the Lord's wrath. And when we are repaying, we put ourselves in God's place. I want you to understand that, you know, a lot of the time when someone wrongs us, we don't necessarily try to do the same thing back to them. But in one way or another, in fact, I think a lot of the time what Christians do is we use our mouths to repay someone. We use our mouths to try to hurt that person, whether it's to hurt their reputation or to hurt them directly. But a lot of the time, it's one of the ways that we seek vengeance on people. But he says, do not repay. And I'll tell you, when we do repay, we're in a sense removing God from that equation. It's an equation where when God is in the middle of it, I want to tell you, he will repay. But he will also take care of you. He will bless you. He will bring you through. He will elevate you. He will promote you. You need to not limit God. You need to not ever think that a man, another person, is bigger than God. Don't take it into your own hands, but leave it in God's hands. I don't know about you, but I can't stand to see somebody else hurt and wronged by a mean, ugly person. Just makes me mad. Well, I want to tell you something. God doesn't like it either. And when we are wronged, I'm telling you, we have his word on this. He says, I will repay. If we really believed that, if we really believe like, well, Abraham did, he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? If we really knew that God is the judge of all the earth was going to do right, we wouldn't have to ever want to repay ourselves. We just trust God. And there's the key, that we really turn it over to God and just trust God. I want you to know this, that this promise, when God says, I will repay, this is just as much a promise as when he says that he'll forgive our sins, as when he says that he will heal us. It's a promise from God's word. And he says it so plainly, and not just one time, but several times in the scripture, that he will repay. I know this verse doesn't override the mercy of God, but listen, when someone is unmerciful, they're not going to be shown mercy. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, he that shows no mercy will receive no mercy. Let's read 20 and 21 again. It says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. In so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's our part, is to do good to them, to help them. Heaping coals of fire on their head, it's taken from an old tradition where someone who had done wrong had to put a basin with hot coals on top of their head, and it was intended to bring that person to a place of shame and repentance. And So it's speaking metaphorically that when we are good to those people, when we are kind to someone, when they have mistreated us, it is adding to their shame so that hopefully they will come to a place of repentance. You know, God always wants to restore. And when you're good to that person, it opens the door for God to work in your life, but also in their life. And it's amazing how God can turn things around. And where there was hate and conflict, God can all of a sudden restore, but not when we try to do it with the arm of the flesh. No, it's when we do it His way. And we are kind and we are good to those who have mistreated us. But know this, if it doesn't bring them to a place of repentance, then God will deal with them. For He says, I will repay. A lot of Christians have the idea that God won't deal with anybody or punish them because, well, you know, He's a forgiving God. In fact, some Christians think that, well, I don't know about you, but most of the time when I've been treated really, really bad, it was by Christians. And so that's true for most of us. I mean, 75 or 80% of America claims to be Christian. So most of the time when you get treated badly by other people, it's by Christians. And the problem that a lot of us have with this principle here that God will repay is we say, well, you know, if they're a Christian, it's under the blood of Jesus, so they don't have to pay for anything. That's not in the Bible. You see, that whole attitude, that whole false doctrine that I'm a Christian, so I'm automatically forgiven for anything I do. I can go up and slap somebody. I can steal their money. Take advantage of people, be mean to people, whatever I want to do, I'm forgiven. False teaching, false doctrine. You can't play games with God. In fact, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You can't play a game with God. You can't mock God. And when people are unrepentant of sin and they intentionally walk in sin, I can assure you, listen, it's not my place to judge. That's God's place. And I'm not questioning their salvation, whether or not they're going to heaven, but I'm telling you that God will deal with them. There will be consequences when they don't repent of their sin. God is long-suffering. He is merciful. And sometimes that's, you know, we think, well, you know, Lord, this happened and they did wrong and nothing happened to them. Well, in the first place, you don't know everything. But God is merciful and long-suffering. But do not say that God doesn't keep His word when He says, I will repay. By the way, there's a lot of Christians that think that, you see, it works both ways. There's a lot of Christians think that God's not going to take care of it. Yes, He is. There's also a lot of Christians that do ugly, hateful, wrong things because they think that it don't matter what I do, God automatically forgives me. I'm telling you, we serve a holy God and He will do right. Jesus came full of grace and truth. He forgave people. He healed people all the time that didn't deserve it. He never turned anybody away. He never said, well, you rotten, stinking sinner, I'm not going to heal you. I mean, if it was based on somebody's righteousness, then nobody would have gotten healed. No, He forgave people and He healed them. He healed a man in John chapter 5 who had had an infirmity for 38 years. And after Jesus had healed the man, He found him later. In verse 14, He said this to him. He said, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. You see, sin can bring sickness on you. Now, don't misunderstand. Listen, not all sickness is caused by sin. Just because somebody gets sick, that doesn't mean they did something wrong. We live in an evil world, in a fallen world, and you need to know that. But I'm telling you, here's the point I want to make to you, is that Jesus says to this man, don't sin anymore. A worse thing will happen. You see, there are consequences when people do wrong. And somehow in the church today, there's gotten this mentality that God is only love and grace. Such a shallow understanding of love and grace. Jesus came full of grace and truth, not half and half. He's full of both. And I'm telling you that when God avenges, that he makes it right. You know, this principle that vengeance belongs to God is not just a New Testament principle. Some people, they read the Old Testament, they say, oh, but you know, in the Old Testament, it was eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Well, that's right. But it's not talking about individuals taking eye for eye and tooth for tooth. It also says to stone people. But it doesn't say, hey, if you think somebody did something wrong, well, you get up a group of people and y'all go stone them. That's ridiculous. It was talking about the governing authorities. And it laid out principles for government so that crimes would be punished in a reasonable way, in a fitting way, not too harsh or too lenient, but an appropriate way. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Hear me now. A lot of people get confused about this. A Christian has to forgive personally. But that doesn't mean that someone who has broken the law doesn't have to answer for their crimes. No, in fact, I want to read this to you from Romans chapter 13. It's verses 1 through 4. And just want you to understand that if somebody's committed a crime, they need to be held accountable for those crimes by the government. Listen, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. See, our law enforcement and our courts are God's servants to avenge and to execute God's judgment. Do they make mistakes? Yes, they do. They're human. Think about poor Joseph in the Bible when he was falsely accused of rape because he wouldn't give in to the advances of his boss's wife, and he was put in prison. And even as wonderful as our justice system is, they make mistakes sometimes. But know this, God never makes mistakes. And he gets the final say. And he is the one who is able to always make it right, just like he did with Joseph. Can you imagine his brothers who sold him into slavery, and later when they come to him in fear and trembling because they realize he has the power to have them put to death, and he says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God had turned the whole thing around. See, God was bigger than all the wrongs done to Joseph. I mean, can you imagine how it was for Potiphar and his wife that now Joseph is the only one they can get food from? Oh, my goodness. If you don't know the story, you need to read it. such a powerful story of God's intervention to bring somebody through to victory. And I want to tell you, when you get caught up in unforgiveness and bitterness and anger, listen, you're taking the Lord out of that equation, and you're not going to see God's blessing on your life. Here's another little, I'm just going to train wreck some theology tonight. Listen, if you want God to bless you, you got to walk in obedience. We've been delivered from the curse of the law. I know. I'm not telling you that all the sicknesses and plagues are going to come on you and blah, blah. I'm not quoting the curse of the law to you. I'm telling you that if you want God's blessing on your life, you have to obey God. What's what Jesus taught? Oh, blessed is the woman who nursed you. That's what they said to Jesus. Blessed is your mother. Jesus said, no, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and do it. And here's a command that we got to do. Don't repay evil for evil, but instead, you let God take care of it. Deuteronomy 32:35 says, vengeance is mine and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. I worked under a pastor one time who, well, like Nabal, he was a mean and surly man. He had had 3 youth pastors in 3 years and as many single pastors as well. And he was just cruel. His nephew, and he told me so. And so he wanted me to leave, and I wanted to leave. But he was cruel to me in many, many ways. He had me work 7 days a week. I could never have a day off to go see my family or Carmen's family. He was just cruel. A lot of mean things that he did to me and said to me. And then he made the mistake of being mean to Carmen. He finally fired me, thank God. And a few months later, well, let me tell you this part of the story. When he fired me, he came into my office just before our last day there, and he said, now, I don't want you, he was worried about his reputation. So he says, I don't want you to tell people that I, you know, ruined your life or something. So I want to make sure that things are good between us. And I had really prayed about it and just turned it all over to the Lord. And so I told him, I said, there is nothing between you and me. It's between you and God now. And I'm in it. A few months later, he had a moral failure, and he was removed from his ministry. Now, the good part of the story is that he went through a period of rehabilitation, and he was restored as a pastor at another church eventually, and he's still serving God and ministering today, many, many, many years later. God always wants to restore. But don't ever think that God will not keep his word to repay. Carmen and I talked about it. There's so many stories that we could relate to you, but most of them, you might know somebody involved, and so we don't tell them. But if we don't daily walk in forgiveness, I hope you understand this is not just about the big things, but it's really something that we have to do daily, that we just walk in forgiveness all the time. We don't repay evil. When somebody's rude to you, you're not rude back. No, that's exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said, turn the other cheek. By the way, I don't have time to answer all of the questions that go along with this message tonight. I know there's a lot of things that pop up, and I'm going to stir up one here. But I'm just going to tell you, when Jesus said, turn the other cheek, he wasn't saying don't defend your family. But he was saying that when you're insulted and people are rude to you, that you don't retaliate. And the truth is that for most of us, we tend to act almost just like the world. And how different we should be when we know that we serve a God who can do anything. You see, if we act in unforgiveness, our act of disobedience brings consequences for us. There's a story about the painting of the Last Supper where Leonardo da Vinci, he had gotten in an argument, in a fight, a quarrel with another painter. And so as he was painting the picture of the Last Supper, he painted that man's face as Judas Iscariot. He would forever live in infamy. And so then as he continued on the painting, he got to the place where he was going to paint the face of Jesus. And no matter how much he tried, how hard he worked, he just couldn't do it. And he finally realized that the problem was his unforgiveness for this other man, that he had to make it right. And you know what? That's the crazy thing about unforgiveness and bitterness and wanting to repay, is that it hurts us. It keeps us from moving on. It keeps us from being healed. It keeps us from the blessings and the deliverance that God has for us. There's times when it's truly hard to forgive someone and move past it. It just takes an act of our will to choose to trust God and to surrender it to Him. I was thinking about it tonight as we were singing that song and singing, "I Surrender All." We say, "Lord, here's my life. Lord, I'll do anything. Here's my will. I'll do anything you say, whatever you want me to do, whatever you ask of me. Lord, if you say go to Africa, I'll go to Africa. I'll do anything you want me to do." I want you to forgive. You need to surrender that to God. You say, "Well, they wronged me. They did." Can I really trust God with that? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You just need to turn it over to Him. One little girl was making faces at a bulldog, scowling at a bulldog, and her mother said, "Stop doing that." She said, "Well, he started it." You know, the dog was innocent. I mean, that's just the way his face was. You know what I mean? He couldn't help it. The little girl was choosing to be that way. But you know what? I think it's just as ridiculous when you're driving down the freeway and somebody starts making hand signs at you and shaking their fist at you, I mean, and you want to do the same thing back. That's not your nature. That's not who you're supposed to be. No, we got to walk in forgiveness. And the way that we can do that is we realize that God is bigger and that He can take care of it. I want to give you one more story just to illustrate. I think it illustrates it very well. In fact, there was a Hungarian refugee that came to America. He had been a successful lawyer in Hungary, and there were uprisings back in the 1950s, and when the uprisings failed, he was forced to leave his country. So he comes to the U.S. He didn't have any money, didn't have any job, and no friends here, but he was well educated. He spoke several languages, and one of them being English, and he couldn't practice law here because he was not familiar with American law, but he sent a resume. He applied for a job with a company where he felt like he could use his knowledge of language, And he received a letter back from the company 2 weeks later. And the letter was very rude in that it told the man that his English was terrible, that he didn't know how to speak English or write in English. And they ridiculed him and almost made fun of him. And it angered him. It made him mad. And he wanted to, well, in fact, he wrote out a letter to them. An angry letter. And then he read the letter before he mailed it, and he decided that he shouldn't send it, that it was wrong for him to repay evil for evil and to respond that way. And so he wrote another letter instead, and he said, "I apologize for my poor English." And he explained his situation to them, and he said, "Hopefully I will get better and learn to use English the right way." Well, just a short time later, he got a letter back from them. They wanted to hire him. They hired him, and he eventually moved up in the company. And one time, it finally succeeded the man who had at first written him the ugly letter. I'm just telling you that God is able to take care of all the wrongs done to you. They say, "Well, why don't we see more of that, Pastor?" Because we usually do it ourselves. We don't usually really turn it over to God. Well, how we need to learn to rest and refusing to take it upon ourselves. Next time you're wronged, think about this, that there are bigger things at stake. Things more important than your pride, hopefully. Things that are more important than your image or your temporary pain. In the big scheme of things, most of the time, our pain will pass. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we don't look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal to us." Temporary. Most of the time, the wrongs done to us, I can tell you, I'm not going to take the time to tell you stories and stories and stories, but I'm going to tell you that I've been wronged many, 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 many times. And none of it stuck. I'm telling you, none of it stuck. God has taken care of me. Oh, it hurt at the time. I thought, "Man, this is bad." And I cried and I went through hard places. But I'm telling you, none of it stuck. God is able to take care of you. Sometimes we are mistreated, we are falsely accused, we are rejected, and maybe we are hurt and abused. And well, there's one who knows about all of those things. In fact, he went through more than any of us. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? His name is Jesus. Isaiah 53 says, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and so we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." I want you to understand that whatever people may do to you, whether it's not speaking to you or mistreating you in the most horrible way that someone could have hurt you, you'll come out on top if you forgive. All the things that they did to the Lord Jesus, I mean, they eventually killed him. And before they did, he says, Father, forgive them. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's not the end of the story, is it? God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen, he's made his enemies his footstool. I'm telling you, when you put it in God's hands, you're putting it in the right place. You can trust him to take care of the wrongs done to you. And you will find yourself praying for those people that have truly wronged you in a big way. And you'll be saying, Father, have mercy on them. Have mercy on them. And how could we take up little petty offenses of daily things when people act ugly and rude and hateful? How can we not shine as a Christian by forgiving and treating others the way we would want to be treated? We just worry too much about defending ourselves. So I encourage you tonight to forgive and to put it behind you. Let your Father take care of it. One last passage of Scripture and we'll close. Psalm 118, verse 5 through 8. He says, I called on the Lord in my distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And I just want to tell you, listen, you don't have to be afraid of what somebody else can do to you. God is bigger than they are. And whatever happens, listen, God is able to turn it around for your good. Here's the message. Trust him. He says, I will repay. You know what? As you pray and you forgive, you may find yourself very often saying, Father, forgive them. Just forgive them. You'll realize how petty it was. But whatever you do, don't take it up in your own hands. Don't hold it in your own heart. Don't speak evil of others, but forgive. Stand with me, and let's just pray for a moment. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you are Almighty, Sovereign God, and that you are the judge. Forgive us, Lord, for when we have played judge and played God in a sense. I pray, Father, that you just help us to find freedom in this truth tonight. And Lord, I know that there are many who are here tonight that have struggled, Lord, and even now there are thoughts, there are people that come to mind and events that come to mind, Lord, and the hurt is real and the damage was done. But Father, I know that you can heal, and so I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would just comfort. Lord, that you would help them to move past that. And Father, whatever wrongs have been done, they'd just be able to turn it over to you and trust you with it, Father. I thank you for that. And I just pray, Father, that there'd just be a peace that would come upon their soul as they're relieved of that burden. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, that's a burden you weren't ever intended to carry. Amen. Well, Lord, bless you. You got to forgive me again for going over. I'm going to get it right. Just pray for me. I love you. Lord, bless you.